Good morning and welcome to ABC Mid-North Coast. Bill Wedgwood with you. We have an unexpected guest in the studio with us this morning. And after we have a look at the weather, we'll be chatting with Cindy Travis and, of course, Cathy Mardell. Good morning, Cathy.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Hello, Cindy.
Good morning.
And welcome indeed to ABC Mid-North Coast. The weather for today, scattered showers, light to moderate south to southeast winds, and they'll be fresh near the coast. The expected top temperatures, Grafton is looking for a top of 23, 21 for Coffs Harbour and Taree, 22 for Kempsey and Port Macquarie, and 20 is the expected maximum for Foster Tuncurry. A few showers everywhere up and down the mid-north coast. I think the girls can tell us a little bit about that from last night. Apparently you got rained on pretty well, yeah?
Just a bit, yes. It's been very, very wet down at Diamond Head.
Indeed. Mm. Tomorrow, guess what? Scattered showers. Light to moderate southeast winds. And around the 22 degree mark for the major centres on the mid-north coast. Isolated showers on Monday. And would you believe isolated showers on Tuesday. So we've got a bit of wet weather coming up, whether that's going to affect your Easter or not.
It will. No more rain, please.
Cathy,
Bill,
in your travels and in your work,
yep,
you meet interesting people, and you've actually...
I collected one.
Shanghaied one.
I did, I brought it back. I met Cindy Travis.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was we went camping down at Diamond Head, still camping down there at the moment, working today though, and I noticed these couple pull up on a bike and they rode up into the walk-in camping area, and they disgorged the contents of very few bags on the back of their bikes and started camping, and we end up talking to them, and we met Cindy.
Yep, that was a couple of days ago.
Yeah, it was Wednesday or something like that, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that they are cycling around the world. They're from Arizona and they've been going for 5 years.
That is just plain spectacular.
I know, just extraordinary. So where in Arizona do you live? We'll start at the beginning.
We lived in Prescott, Arizona, which is north of Phoenix, and that's where we started our trip, was in Arizona, and we did a couple weeks there, and then we went into Mexico.
Wow.
It was quite a change.
Yeah, I can imagine. And were you camping there?
We camped some, and we stayed in hotels some. We camped near the cornfields most of the time.
Wow. Amazing. And then from there?
Then we went to Central America, and that was our first year. And then we went to South America our second year and went to Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, Chile, and Argentina. Lovely area. And then after that, we went home, and after traveling for 2 years, we decided to publish a book about our travels. It's called The Road That Has No End. And so we went back to the States and self-published that book. And then we took off to Southeast Asia and traveled through Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, 9 months in China, then back down through Laos, Thailand, Malaysia, and then Singapore. And then we flew from Singapore to Adelaide about 6 months ago.
Wow. All on a bike?
On a bike, yes.
Oh, my goodness. And you just take a skip back here to the Central America, like all those countries, Bolivia and those places, aren't they like really hilly?
We went down in South America. We followed the spine of the Andes, and we would ride for 3 days up and then 1 day down. Oh. 3 days up and 1 day down.
Wow. Lots of volcanoes to negotiate around that area.
Yeah, and in Central America as well.
In Central America as well.
Holy dooly. I mean, how can you do that day after day? Uphill.
You just take it slow. We're loaded down with gear, and we have very low gears, and we take it slow. We put on some music. And we pedal, and we talk. We don't. It's not a race pace. It's more endurance.
Mm.
What would you average per day?
Well, if we're going uphill, we could go as little as 25 kilometers because we could ride as slow as 5 kilometers an hour. Mm-hmm. And then if it's flat, we do 70 to 100 kilometers depending on the road surface and wind.
Not that I get a sense you're particularly worried about the numbers, though, but I thought I'd ask.
Yeah.
Is there an aim, though, to actually get to the next centre? Are you sort of on a map, you're thinking we should make this place just in terms of camping and so on? Are you pretty independent like that?
Yeah, we plan on a day-to-day basis. We'll pull out the map, pick the next place we're going to go. Sometimes we make it there, sometimes we don't. I don't worry about where we land anymore. It was kind of an unknown in the beginning, but now I know it'll work out.
Ah. And in your travels, have you stopped or seen many national parks, like...
In Australia, we've hit as many national parks as we can. They're absolutely stunning. It's a really beautiful place here. And the wildlife Incredibly. Incredibly unique. I love it. I would say we've mostly been in developing countries, third mm-hmm. world countries, and the national parks aren't as maintained.
Yeah.
And we did hit Torres del Paine in Chile and, mm-hmm. and some places in Argentina that were stunning. But most other places in Asia, they don't really have too many national parks. In China, we went to their first national park, and it was really, really beautiful.
Mm. And you got arrested in China, didn't you?
Oh, yes, we got arrested in China.
What were you doing there?
Well, it was our 10th day into the country, and we were riding along, and we saw some farmers. I said, "Oh, Tim, take some pictures," and he did. And it turned out that they were prisoners, and we were standing in front of a military installation. So it just created quite a ruckus, and we were detained, and people, they were very friendly, very, but firm, and we were detained for about 6 hours and interrogated and signed confessions that we had taken photos of prisoners, and then they let us go after they had gone through our things and decided we were okay. And we were thought we were done. But then the next 3 days they followed us by car and took pictures of us and video. That part was really unnerving.
A bit scary. So they didn't follow you on a bike?
We were on the bike. They were in the car. And, you know, we recognized them from the day before. It was unnerving.
Yeah, it would have been.
But they gave up on you eventually by the sound of it.
They did. They did. We went to a place called Yangshou, and it's where a lot of Chinese go to learn English, and we taught English, mostly called English Corner, where we would practice speaking English with them and not so much be the teachers. They had other people to teach. And we blended in there a little better. So.
Well, that's good. And where would you say are the best people that you've met? Like, you know, I know, or the best place perhaps?
The best place for scenery, I would say, is South America,
mm-hmm.
Down by Perito Moreno Glacier and Torres del Paine and the Andes. When you get really high, everything is crystal clear, and you can just see, you feel like you can touch everything.
Wow.
And
that's not just altitude sickness, then.
No. So I really enjoyed that area. Asia is very interesting because the cultures are really exotic and different. And I would say people are people. Mm. People have been generous everywhere. Mm-hmm. Australia, we've had incredible amounts of hospitality and generosity. In Mexico, when we first entered Mexico, people took us in, and they were subsistence farmers. They just, you know, had enough to eat for themselves, yet they shared everything with us. It's been a very humbling experience. And when I left, I thought most people are, you know, people are basically good. And I can say after 5 years, I still believe that, and it's really nice.
Well,
I was going to ask you about the reaction of locals, and I guess that does sum it up in a way. But have you had any moments where people have just been plain surprised by your presence and
Yeah, especially in Latin America, because we were on a bike, and it was another thing I felt vulnerable about. Am I going to be exposed? People going to be able to rob me easily? And actually, it made us more approachable. And so I remember many towns in Mexico, they just run up to us because we're approachable and start asking us all kinds of questions. And the same in China, and particularly in Inner Mongolia, they would just crowd around and just curiosity.
Wow. I guess robbing you is also based on the sense that you might actually have something to rob. But I gather you travel pretty light.
We travel pretty light. We carry everything that will make us comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and we travel light compared to what people live in their houses. But we're comfortable. We enjoy.
You've only got one chair with you, though.
I know.
it's a child's chair. Tiny little thing.
Is that on a rotation basis or something?
Yeah, we usually look for places with tables and where we can pull out and have our coffee in the morning.
They don't have too much stuff, I'm here to tell you.
I asked you outside, actually, before we came into the studio, when you started out, were you travelling a little bit more heavy? Because sometimes people tend to think, oh, I might need this. Put that in, we'll be right. And then I can imagine about 50 k's down the road, I don't need that.
Yeah, we were packed because we had unloaded a house and we had lots of things that we had left over. Tim carried all kinds of cans of food because it wasn't too long after Y2K and we still had you know, food left over in cans that we had stored, so he had all that. But I remember holding the cheese grater thinking, I just don't want to carry this. I don't need it. And there's quite a few things. I tend to be a little bit more of a pack rat than Tim. Tim's very basic and utilitarian. Everything's got to have a purpose.
Oh, that's amazing. And so where does this all this end? Like, your book is The Road Without...
The Road That Has No End. Well, we don't really plan on stopping. We plan on continuing to travel. I'm still fascinated with the world. There's still a lot to see out there. We maintain a web page, downtheroad.org, and doing that, we have photos in my daily journal, and that keeps us busy. So we're not bored. I've never been bored on this trip for sure. Mm. And we plan to go to New Zealand next, then back to the States for a little while, then over to the Middle East and down through Africa. So a whole different part of the world.
Wow.
Do you do much advanced research on the places you're going to, or are you kind of leaving yourself open for surprises?
Well, yeah, you can only research so much. Tim and I kind of divvy that up. He's the big big picture person. He makes sure we get to the continent at the right time of year, the right season, so we're not somewhere in winter, and we try to go with the wind instead of against the wind. And then I do the more detailed planning as we go. And we try to do as much research as we can. We use the local Lonely Planet guidebooks. Mm. Information is real important, but we find surprises all the time. Like Diamond Head, we didn't plan. We planned to stay there one night, and it's such a special place with a beautiful beach. We thought, oh, we'll just stay here over Easter.
Mm. And it's been very busy down there too. We were there sort of not quite by ourselves on Wednesday, and then by Thursday the place just got inundated absolutely by people. And yeah, I met a couple of nice people down there, other people down there who listen to the show, so I'd like to say hi to them.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have people listening on their transistors in all parts.
That's right.
Australia, well, in North Coast at least.
That's right. Although some people bailed out because it was getting a bit busy, but it's been a little bit wet, so I'd say maybe some people will be going home.
Is that an issue for you too in terms of the weather? I guess some downpour is not like you've been through it before, so I guess it's not a big deal. But any particular climatic events, I should say, that...
We've had a few. In particular, in Mexico, we were traveling, and we were up in the mountains, and we were coming down, and we could have camped easily, and we decided not to because we were just going downhill so pleasantly. And we turned a corner and hit a hailstorm hit us. And the hail was marble size and had filled the vents of our helmet so fast it was overflowing. And we had to pull over and just put up the tent. And it was crazy. It really was.
It went from serene to difficult in a very short amount of time.
We put that tent up really as fast as we could, and Tim gave me a towel and said, just wipe out the bottom of the tent. And I go in there, and I needed a pan to get the water out of the bottom of the tent. It was just soaking wet.
My goodness. And you've only got a three-person tent for you and Tim. It's pretty tight. Yeah, and all your stuff in there. It's just, oh, goodness, I don't know how you do it, but... It's just a dream.
Bike repairs? How does that go in all these various countries?
It's nice. Tim's a bike mechanic, so he takes care of everything. We carried a lot of our own tools. We still have a few cables. Tim just broke a front bike cable, brake cable, and we repaired it a couple days ago. I broke my chain about a week ago. He repairs it. I'm lucky he repairs all the flat tires when we're on the road, and that's kind of nice. Well, we kind of are a team, but he has the dirty job.
And there would have been hundreds of flat tires.
We've had a few. Yeah.
It's nice to have that confidence that if you're a fairly high point in the Andes and your chain breaks, you've actually got a fellow with you who can take care of this.
Yeah, it helps.
Rather than coast down to the next available spot.
There's not so many in Australia. There's lots of places to go to fix your bike, but not in Ecuador or Bolivia. They just don't have the high end bike components that we have.
Mm. How did you come down South America? Did you went through Peru? Did you say?
Yeah, we went through Peru in the Andes, through the high Andes.
Anywhere near the Atacama Desert area?
Chile. No, that's Chile. Yeah, we actually were. We went to the Salar de Uyuni in Bolivia, which was a spectacular ride. It's the largest salt flat in the world, and we came in from the top and went across and navigated by a compass across the salt flat. That was really a highlight down there for sure.
Did you camp on that?
We camped. It took 3 days to ride across, and it's like being in a boat, but only you're on the bike, and we just rode to an island and picked up water and then moved on. They have a hotel out there that's made out of salt.
Really?
Pretty interesting.
Is it like that really hard rock salt sort of thing?
It is. It is. It's just pristine and beautiful and cold.
Wow.
All at once.
Wow. Absolutely amazing.
So as you say, you think you got the back to the States, you got the Middle East, Africa.
Yeah, Africa. I'm kind of bracing myself for Africa, but trying to relax. I've learned that all my expectations I have about places, like Australia, I thought it'd be really hot here. It really hasn't been that hot. They get those expectations, just they don't materialize. So I try not to have all these prejudgments in my mind about Africa. So I want to go see what it's like there.
And is this something that, you've written a book, obviously, but you'll be taking this back. Are you going back to the United States to live?
We probably will eventually when we retire.
This is their job. That's the amazing thing.
It's more of a lifestyle.
Yeah, but like you're earning money through your internet site.
From our book sales and our website. We have advertising through Google AdSense, and we try to help other bike tourists who are looking for a gear like our panniers to, when they find them on our site, they can click through and purchase them at an internet store, and we get a commission through that. So we're working on a couple different things. Tim's making videos now, and we have turned our book into an e-book and an audio book.
And they've just like, they'd never sort of, when they left home, they hadn't got the idea to have a job on the road, but it just kind of eventuated, didn't it?
It just kind of happened. We kind of grew with the internet. I started a journal and it turned into a blog, and people follow us here in Australia. We've met a number of people who have followed us for years, and we go and visit them and they know us. And it doesn't take long to get comfortable because they're so comfortable with us, but it's kind of an interesting phenomena from the net.
It's amazing. It just brings the world so close, doesn't it?
Indeed. And you're supporting yourself in such a 21st century way.
Yeah.
It's just extraordinary.
I'm one of the oldest forms of transport known to man. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good combination.
Indeed, yeah.
Kathy, you meet wonderful people in New York, don't you?
I do. I had to bring Cindy in because she's just fascinating to talk to about the places she's been. And I'm kind of a bit jealous, Bill, too, because I wouldn't mind doing this myself. But I don't know if I'm game enough. Too many commitments.
Follow Cindy's progress.
I will. I'll do it vicariously. Take little trips on my bike.
Cindy, it would be absolutely lovely if we had some way to keep contact with you as you make your way to other parts of Australia, at least, and I'll speak to the manager about even overseas calls. We'll see how we go.
If you want to touch base with me in a little while and see, we're going to go across the top to Darwin. It would be kind of, it'd be interesting to see what it's like up there and our impression.
Indeed.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Cindy. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you, Bill.
In. That's
yeah.
absolutely wonderful.
I'm going to take her back now.
Yeah, take her back.
Put her back on a bike.